This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
In our final hour of our five-hour midnight ride, as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, Zoo on the other side, 888-808-1019. Obviously, we started with the baseball as both teams finished a series yesterday. The New York Mets finished their homestand 5-6, losing the final game 5-0 to the Miami Marlins, unable to hit. The offense continues, despite the winning, doing it strictly on the backs of their pitching staff and specifically their bullpen, as the offense continues to struggle. Beatty is wearing it right now as he's hitting 111 and just been awful. He makes a huge error in the game that helps lead to runs. McGill a little bit McGilly. Not really throwing strikes, not attacking the strike zone. Too many pitches, comes out early. Diaz bad in the ninth, gives up three more, and the Mets lose 5-0. And would they get two hits in this game? Just an awful offensive performance, but ultimately a good start to the season at 8-4. But for me, the New York Yankees yesterday avoided what could have been a disastrous loss. And for me, we're going to talk obviously about Devin Williams, and we did. But for me, the story is Max Fried. Because if you look at where this team is right now, and you look at where the rotation is, still waiting for Clark Schmidt, who is going to have one more minor league start today and then hopefully rejoin the rotation. But you're obviously down Cole, who's gone for the whole year with Tommy John. You're waiting for Luis Gil. You lost three of your five starters. The starting rotation was supposed to be a strength for you. You got Cookie Carrasco giving up four solo home runs the day before against Detroit. The inconsistency of Carlos Rodon, and we all know the limitations of Marcus Stroman. I mean, that's the rotation. That and the ace, Max Fried. So coming off a three-game losing streak, looking lifeless in the cold weather of Detroit, the offense back in its shell after, you know, torpedoing home runs all over the place for the first 7 to 8 games of the season, have been shut down in the cold, shut down by good pitching, and they could not afford, in my mind, to be swept in Detroit, lose four consecutive games, get through Max Fried not winning, having a bad pitching performance from him, heading into the next three games against the San Francisco Giants, who are as hot as anybody in baseball, heading back home 6-6 after squandering a 3-0 start against Milwaukee. It just would have been, no, listen, there are no must wins 12 games in, and we probably would have overreacted to it, but ultimately, this team right now felt like it was one bad pitching performance and shut down away from really losing all of the good faith and all of the fun we enjoyed over the first couple games of this season and squandering that. But instead, Max Fried stepped up, gave you an unbelievable performance. We talked about how important it was. And for him to show up in that moment, that was his first real big Yankee moment three starts in. It was. You can say it wasn't. You can poo-poo it. You know damn well if you're going to poo-poo it, you would have been thrilled as a Yankee hater had they lost that game. Four in a row, getting swept in Detroit, getting shut down by Detroit pitching, offense absolutely nowhere, and the rotation in the shambles that it is. Max Fried had a big start. That's why they paid him big money. He's here for 8 years, and he absolutely shoved as he went 7 innings, struck out 11 batters, didn't allow a single run, and gave the Yankees a real opportunity to feel at least there's a stabilizing force, inside that rotation that right now is a major problem, And hopefully they're 5 days away from adding Clark Schmidt, which will be a help, but still. Ian Hamilton just coming back, but the bullpen, obviously an issue so far as well. I'm less concerned about that, believe it or not, and we'll get to Devin Williams in a second here, but that rotation for me is without question the biggest issue the Yankees have, and they needed a good start because even his first two starts haven't been that good. The only real good pitching performance they got prior to this was Rodon on opening day. Other than that, they really haven't seen a good, solid starting, game, a good game by a starter the entire year. And Max Fried needed to step up. He did. It was a huge performance. And then you get to Devin Williams, who after the Judge two-run single and giving the Yankees a four-run lead after obviously the huge home run from Ben Rice, who's becoming a story on his own, he's leading off. He's hitting cleanup. He's hitting big home runs against lefties. He's been unbelievable. Ben Rice has been a huge addition to this team. Him and obviously Judge and Goldschmidt are the only ones hitting right now after the explosion of the first couple of series. So a four-run lead in the ninth, bringing in the closer, that's a spot you're expecting to get out relatively easy, and instead you get the walk to the leadoff man. Devin Williams comes in and is just awful, and he gives up 3 runs and almost damn near ruins what was supposed to be a nice little ho-hum, big-time victory talking about Max Fried, although I'll still do it. And instead became, what the hell is wrong with this high-priced Yankee closer? This guy who's supposed to be one of the best relievers in baseball that they traded for. It was supposed to be a coup. It was supposed to be the one damn thing we're universally supposed to love about Brian Cashman in his offseason. And what the hell, this guy's a bum. And he hasn't been good in 4 appearances this year, and the fan base is losing it, and everybody needs to calm down. Because he is going to be, this is, you know, relievers can be fickle. And sure, I'm disappointed, and he was awful in the game, and he had no fastball command, and they're sitting all over his airbender. And if you can't throw fastballs for strikes, and they can sit on your changeup, I don't care how good it is, major league hitters are going to have good at-bats against them. And right now, he doesn't know where the fastball is going. The changeup isn't being thrown inside the zone. He's walking guys, and he's giving up hits, and he's been awful through 4 appearances. But it's 4 appearances through April 10th. Because of the Yankees season, one, the bad weather, two, the inconsistency with needing a closer. They've either won games big or have lost games. Yeah, they haven't really been in a lot of tight games. Weaver has hardly pitched. I think he only has 3 appearances. The back end of the bullpen is yet to be needed. He hasn't thrown much. The season's 12 games long. He's been away for 4 days having a baby. And we're acting like we already know that Devin Williams is going to be a disaster with the New York Yankees. We have to control ourselves. Like, Devin Williams has a track record of being an elite reliever for multiple years. He's going to be a free agent after this year. This is his 6th year in Major League Baseball. You look at it, he's got a career 1.83 ERA. He has been a dominant reliever. He's been one of the best relievers in baseball. In fact, Major League Baseball Network calls him the best reliever in baseball. And the back end of the bullpen is going to be, with him and Weaver, as important as any other part of the team, and he is going to be fine. We overreact to this stuff. It's April 10th. He's been awful. There's no doubt about it. But we have seen every closer in baseball, including the great Mariano Rivera, go through a bad stretch. It just so happens this is the first start of the season. We're just getting our first looks at him. People want to either blame him or at least acknowledge him being the reason for why the Yankees got rid of the beard policy, which, again, the idea Devin Williams walked into the owner's office and said, change the policy. And that's what happened. Like, this was in the works and in the thought process for a long time before they finally did it. So the idea of, hey, bum, go shave your beard, or whatever stupid nonsense we're all getting riled up about with Devin Williams, can cool it. The guy is going to be an excellent reliever, and before long, he is going to be one of the more important players on this team and someone we're all very excited to see come out of the pen. So everybody, cool your Jets. 888-808-1019. And speaking of Jets, we heard from a couple of the new Jets. We heard from the new quarterback, Justin Fields. He spoke to the media. You heard the clip right here in the update about whether or not the, when asked about if the Jets would draft a quarterback in the draft, he doesn't want to answer the question, but he'd be willing to help. Yeah, sure you would be. And I'll tell you this right now. For the New York Jets at number 7, you know how I feel about the New York Giants drafting Shedeur Sanders number 3. If the New York Jets at number 7, if Shedeur Sanders falls to them at 7, I don't think you have a choice. You have got to draft Shedeur Sanders if you're the New York Jets and you're picking 7th and he falls to you. You have to. I know you just signed Fields. I know he's young. I know you're hoping he's going to be successful. This is the same guy who failed out in Chicago. This is the same guy who last year with Pittsburgh started the year, went 4-2, and they couldn't wait to get his ass off the field for Russell Wilson. And then as the season was fading with Russell Wilson, the last 4 regular season games of the year, they didn't even contemplate going back to Justin Fields. That doesn't mean he sucks. That doesn't mean he can't be successful here. But the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't see it in him. The Chicago Bears moved on from him. So I don't know what he's going to be for the New York Jets. I don't know how they're going to game plan him. I don't know how they're going to try and obviously run him and get the offense running through him and have a running first offense. We've talked about the Jets and their idea of having a dual running back system and the idea that Hall could be available via trade or they could be looking running back in the draft. If you draft a running back over a quarterback, you're a fool. That's the basis. You want to talk about the basics of 2025 NFL football? Drafting a running back over a quarterback when you don't have a quarterback, you're a fool. The New York Jets have no choice if Shedeur Sanders falls to 7. You have got to find your future quarterback. Like, even if it doesn't work, if Fields becomes your guy, great. Then you found your quarterback, and who cares what you did in the first round? You'll be thankful to get the quarterback. Like, this franchise has been stifled by the quarterback situation and play forever. If you get what is deemed to be the second best quarterback in this draft and someone who's been valued as a third value pick in this draft, whether he's the third best player or not is a different conversation, but he's been considered a top 3 draft pick in this draft for weeks. If he for some reason falls, if the Giants don't take him at 3, if the Raiders don't take him at 6, like there's a lot of teams in between there where if he does get past the Giants, I could see him dropping to 7. You have got to go out there and get Shedeur Sanders. I'm not saying trade up for him, but if he falls into your lap at 7, I don't want to draft a tight end. I want to improve this team, no doubt. And, you know, obviously the coach is all about making football decisions. Well, again, it's 2025. And if you don't have a quarterback, you have to find one. And I'll take my chances. You put a room together where he's working with Tyrod Taylor. You got Justin Fields in the room. I'll take my chances. Let's have a quarterback competition between Sanders and Fields and find out who's the guy. Like, you're trying to find the quarterback of the future. And if they find themselves in a position to draft him, I don't see how they pass up on it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. I mean, Shedeur Sanders is going to be the most interesting part of this draft because if he falls, like say he falls past the Jets at 7, say the Jets don't do as I would ask them to do, and they think you're a fat fool calling me a fool for drafting a running back, all right, no need to call me names. But if they draft a wide receiver, if they draft a tight end, as Connor Hughes just put out in his mock draft, if they do something else and you get to the point where it starts falling and you get to 9 with the Saints and he falls past 9, like at what point, if the Giants take either Carter or Hunter at 3, there's been talks about going into the back end of the first round again. They have the 34th pick, the second pick in the second round. There's been a lot of talk of taking a quarterback there or trying to move back into the first round and take a quarterback, get him on that fifth-year option, whether it be Jackson Dart or whomever else. Well, if it gets to a point where Shedeur Sanders starts falling, and we're talking about 9, 10, 11, like you've got the Saints there, you've got the 49ers right around there who I could easily see them drafting a quarterback if Shedeur falls. Like at what point would you consider, if you're the Giants, getting back into the middle of the first round? Because if you can get Carter or Hunter and then find a way to get back into the first round and trade and get Shador? Well, I mean, now you're talking about Shane and Dable trying to sell their jobs. Now they can sell on, hey, we just improved this team this year dramatically by getting one of the two best players in the league, in the draft, a shutdown corner or a defensive edge rusher or an outside linebacker / D end who gets after the quarterback. Like, we've just found our cornerstone defensive player, and I've got the quarterback of the future. Like, that is, and that's not taking a flyer on guys like Dart or someone called up earlier about Shuck or Howard or whomever else. Like, that is legitimately getting the second-best quarterback in the draft as well as the second-best defensive player and second-best overall player in this draft at the worst, because Hunter or Carter are going to go 2. The other one's going to fall into your lap at 3. That's when I'm willing to give you that 34th pick next year's first rounder and a third rounder this year. I'll give you my second and third and a first round next year, and I got Carter and Shador. I mean, Shador Sanders impacts both these teams and is pretty much the key to this draft, and it's going to be very interesting to see how it works out. 888-808-1019. But that's like, you want to talk about the dream? For me, the Giants should take Shador Sanders at 3 because it's very difficult to do what I just suggested. But if they could find a way to get both Shador, and it's starting to become a little bit more believable, because once you get past, like, Geno Smith with the Raiders, are they taking a quarterback? I don't know. They've had connections to the Shador for a long time now, but are they going to take him? I don't know. If the Jets pass, then you get to the Saints. Will the Saints pass on him? Probably not. I don't know. Maybe they'd be willing to trade back. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Phil and Howell. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing? I like to talk about the Knicks, if I may.
Okay, sure.
Listen, I was never a component of the trade that they made for Towns and for Minnesota for DeVincenzo and Randall. The general consensus is that if the Knicks don't get through, like, you know, the second round of the playoffs, that the coach's job might be in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's the coach's fault. I mean, I think they went the wrong way this past year when, you know, you got to go back to Leon Rose. Leon Rose made this trade, okay?
Well, they've also had a better, you know, I mean, they've had a really good regular season. I mean, they've won 50 games again. You could argue they're more talented. I mean, if they lose to the, I mean, last year's team lost to the Pacers in the second round. This year would have to lose to the Boston Celtics in the second round. A bit more of a step up in talent, no?
That's generally my point. My point is, I know you're going to disagree with me, but I think last year's team was better than this year's team. I mean, as a cohesive unit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that's fair, but I mean, I don't know. I think they're more talented this year. I think if they ever find that cohesion, they are more of a NBA championship contender than they were last year.
Well, I think the mistake that they made is that they should have kept the first unit intact. What they needed to address was the second unit, okay? Because, like, listen, they had a very thin bench. The starting five last year was playing at least 40 minutes a game, almost all of them.
Mm-hmm. They weren't going to be able to keep Hartenstein no matter what they did. They because of the rules of the NFL, the NBA cap, and please don't ask me to explain why, but they just were unable to give as much money to him as other teams in free agency. So they weren't going to be able to keep him.
See, I agree. He was a big, integral part. You know what? I know you're going to laugh about this, okay?
You think he's better than Carl Anthony Towns?
You know what? I would have paid him the max money asked him what he wanted to max to you know, like, at least, you know, come up with what Oklahoma City is.
Yeah,
right?
But that's what I'm telling you. They couldn't. They weren't allowed to.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? You give them cash underneath the table.
Why not? Think of the team they could build with cash under the table. I mean, obviously that's not a real thing. I said all of this year that this team was not only going to be competing with the rest of the Eastern Conference, they were going to be competing with last year's Ghost. Like, that's at least with the fans. Like, that was, we were always going to be wondering because it never felt like it came to fruition. They had the Randle injury. Then by the end, they had so many injuries. They had the OG Anunoby injury. Then you know, in game seven, the Brunson hand issue. But it just felt like they couldn't make it to the finish line. So we never actually got to see what that team could do. And we all believe in our heart of hearts that they would have beat the Pacers in the second round and been to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, could they have beaten the Celtics? I don't know. But I think most people feel like that team would have gotten to an Eastern Conference Finals if healthy. And so now this new adoration where they make the trade for Karl-Anthony Towns and his perception of being soft and trading five first-round picks for Mikal Bridges and what we see from him this year, which has been utterly disappointing. And you wonder if, you know, that you do they have the toughness? Do they have the cohesion, as our last caller said? Are they together? Do they, you know, we're going to find out. But I don't know. I don't know that this team is any worse. I don't know what makes you say that. I mean, this Boston team is really good. You think last year's team would have had its way with Boston or would have been far better against Boston? I know they got blown out in a couple of games. You put that team last year in a seven-game series against the Boston Celtics, I don't know if they win that series. I don't know how much better you think they are. I think they're more talented right now. And I think if they can get it together and play their game and OG Anunoby can emerge and become what he was while Brunson was down, scoring 28 points a game, and his offensive prowess to go along with his defense, and Karl-Anthony Towns sheds the moniker of being a soft player and disappearing in big games. Like I think they have more offensive firepower. I think they can outscore the Boston Celtics better than they could have last year. They are missing some toughness and they're not as good defensively. So we're gonna find out how that plays. But as far as losing Tibbs or firing Tibbs, it's not about whose fault it is. Because I agree with you. And I'm not a proponent for firing him necessarily. But I understand there's going to be a conversation, and I don't think the conversation's crazy. Because, let's be fair, I mean, I love Tibbs and what he's done for this franchise. I mean, he's turned around the franchise. Him and Leon Rose turned around what was the unturnaroundable franchise here in the city. I mean, they were garbage for 20 years, and they've had Hall of Fame coaches. Larry Brown came here and was awful, and it was a one-and-done situation for him. Obviously, Hall of Fame coaches coming in to be executives like Phil Jackson and running the damn team into the ground while making $15 million a year. Like, nobody could turn this team around. And Leon Rose and Tibbs have turned this team around. And he has been a great coach, and he has done an amazing job. And it's been a miraculous turnaround to the point where we are dissatisfied with back-to-back 50-win seasons because we don't know if we can win in the second round. That is such a far cry from where we were just a handful of years ago that it's... We should thank them every single day, but that doesn't change the fact that when teams are stagnant and you feel like they're stagnant and have reached a level where you don't know where else they're going to go and the players aren't going anywhere, because make no mistake, Towns is here. They traded all their first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. Like, they paid Anunoby all this money, and obviously Brunson's not going anywhere. The core group of this team, this is year one of probably at least a 3 or 4 year window of this group. And if you feel like this group right now is somehow limited in how they play, and you've had guys like Mikal Bridges and teammates come out and talk about the minutes and talk about the bench playing more and all the different issues and Tibbs' own issues of what happened in Chicago and Minnesota, like, if they don't win, if they lose in the first round or absolutely demolished by the Boston Celtics in the second round, there's going to be conversations because they can't go back and give Hartenstein money under the table and they can't undo what they've done. This is who they are. And when I think of a Thibodeau team, I think of last year. I think of tough. I think of gritty. I think of defensive minded. And this team isn't those things. And I don't know if trying to change them into that is what's best, or do you go with who they are and find a coach who's more suited to play them as who they are. Now, I'm not saying that's what needs to be done. I'm just saying there is going to be a conversation about that. And the New York Knicks, Leon Rose, and everyone else making decisions in that organization is going to have to think about it. And I'll be fine if they keep him. But they're going to have to think about it. 888-808-1019. Quick break. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. A half hour left on our five-hour midnight ride. Be right back. All right, let's get to Rob.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm in Manhattan. What's up, Robert?
Good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning.
I hope things are well in C-Mac manner with the family and
everything's going.
And you know, I'm not even going to worry about the Dodgers. The Dodgers are my team.
I wouldn't worry about them just yet.
Wake up in July. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a couple of quick points. You may not know this, but this is a little secret. Nobody outside of New York wants to see a Knicks-Celtics conference final. They all want to see Cleveland. I was on a recent train trip all across the mid heartland, and they want to see Boston and Cleveland, and frankly, so do I. But I didn't call about that.
We'll
get that another night.
Okay. I would think the NBA wants Boston, New York, would be my thought.
You could be right, mm-hmm. I suppose, but I don't know. Let's talk about the New York Chokers, the ones who are the other team at the greatest arena in the world. After last night, every Ranger fan, no one's called you tonight. Ranger fan should have gone home with a bag over his head. I got to tell you something. If this weren't funny, this would be tragic. I mean, this team won the President's Cup last trophy last year,
yeah.
And look where they are. And you know what's going to be ironic? You know who's going to knock them out of official contention? The New York Islanders tonight. Oh, Miriam and I can't wait for that. I got to tell you.
Well, I hope you enjoy that, Robert. Yeah, this team this year has been a real disaster, and last night, no different. You know, they take the 4-3 lead immediately. They give it right back. They score the shorthanded goal. They give it back. It ends up being just a disastrous night, a night where JD and Sam Rosen reunited on the broadcast. I mean, I know everyone's saying it, but it's so true. I mean, it's such a crappy season to end with for Sam Rosen. I mean, last year, John got the World Series. I know it was a disappointing fifth inning, and it was an ugly loss, and they didn't serve themselves well, but they were in the World Series. Now, TV's different. Sam would have only had the first round. They could have put him on the radio broadcast, which I think they have done, so he might have been able to do some playoff games past the first round if they were so lucky to get there. But just to have such an ugly, it's not just the losing, it's the ugly nature of it, the give-up nature of it, how bad they are, something wrong inside the team. Like, it's just undeniable. You could feel it from whether it's the Goodrow situation to the Trouba situation at the start of the year. It's just felt like, even though early on, what were they, 12-5, 12-4? Early on, they were still winning games. You just had the sense that it wasn't the same team. I remember asking Brian Monzo and a couple other, like, diehard Ranger fans. Like, I'm like, you know, it's funny. The Rangers are winning, and I see that it's an issue too, and they're not great defensively, but it feels like the fan base is ready to, like, it just felt like early on Ranger fans were all over this. Even with the winning, Ranger fans knew something was wrong, because I remember early on, I'm like, they're winning, and we're still, like, all pissed off, and they knew, we knew, that there was an issue with this team from deep within. And whether it's not being, and then the franchise just as a whole, not being able to develop the young talent, having the second, and first round, the second overall pick and the first overall pick in back-to-back years, and feel like they've both been disasters, where Kako isn't even on the team anymore, and Lafreniere just had a miserable year after really a good one where you thought he was emerging, where you're hoping him to bounce back and build on what he did last year, instead, right back in the toilet. Along with Zibanejad for most of the year and everything else. And it has just felt like something has been off inside the team, the chemistry, whatever it is, because even if you thought they might have a down year, and certainly there was questions on how this team is built and moving forward and the core of the team off of losing last year in the playoffs to a tougher, more battle-tested, fiercer, Florida Panthers team that went on to win the Stanley Cup, you never thought in a million years this team, who just won the President's Trophy, as you said, and had three consecutive 100-point seasons, would fall on their face like this. And for it to be so ugly and so bad defensively. And, guys like Adam Fox, who you thought a couple years ago was going to emerge as one of the better young offensive defensemen in the NHL, that you thought you might have had a superstar on your hands, and to see where he is now. And or the way he's been playing for the Rangers now. He got up for the four-country tournament, though, that's for sure. He was all about that. And I'm sorry, I can't get away from that. It's part of something was up with the Rangers, where the Rangers are literally, and not just them, I know a lot of guys are on it, but Adam Fox, who's really struggled and has not been the same type of player that he was a couple of years ago, is getting ready for, let's be honest, I know he had the USA on the front of his chest, and I'll always respect that. But it was a made-up tournament that the NHL thought would be a good way to get buzz for the All-Star game and All-Star festivities. And they were right, and it did, and it was wonderful and created great hockey. But the idea before that game that Adam Fox is telling you, oh, this is the most excited I've ever been for a hockey game, when they were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, like, it's, what's going on? I mean, and now, again, I've hate what's happened to this team, and I don't know about the future of it, but I'm not so quick to just kill Drury. Like, I feel like, yeah, mistakes were made this year, no doubt, and obviously the team wasn't good enough, and yeah, I'm concerned about next year and the future building of this team, but he did put together a team that won a hell of a lot of games over the last couple of years. Like, it's not like it's been a disaster. They've won a hell of a lot of games. They've been to two Eastern Conference Finals in the last 4 years. Like, yeah, I mean, you want the cup. It's been 1994, but and maybe they aren't built good enough to win Eastern Conference Finals and get to NHL Stanley Cup Finals, but I did not see this coming. I have to admit, we did not see it coming. I cannot wait for the season end. So even though you were kind of joking, I hope the Islanders put them out of their misery. I want it over. And it sucks for Sam Rosen, man. It does. I mean, one of the great voices and one of the great voices in this city. It's not going to be the same without him. And to have this year where the team just folded is a rough end for him, a rough end for us. And a miserable season will finally come to an end where there'll be a new coach next year. I would think there'll be a lot of changes there. I think there has to be. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Christopher, good to talk to you this morning.
Good to talk to you, sir. What's up?
Well, Zeus suggested I start with this. You went with a group of the tweens to see Sister Act 2?
Yes, that is correct. I think I was 10 because my buddy is I'm December 19th and he's December 20th of the year before. So he's 364 days older than me. So I think it was his 11th birthday, but I was 10. And we went to, for his birthday, a bunch of us went to the movie theater and we saw Sister Act 2. That is correct, yes.
One of the worst movies ever made.
Oh, that's not true. I'll give you it's a bit odd for a 10-year-old boy's birthday, but I don't think, no, Sister Act 2 is okay and there's some great music scenes and Lauryn Hill is incredible in it.
No, compare it with Sister Act 1, the original, which had a script and it was a comedy. And back to another point, yes. I'm going to get these out of the way quickly. Uh-huh. Boy bands, you said that they're inventing that coming off the mic. Do you remember the Righteous Brothers stolen inspiration?
I didn't say they invented it. I was just like, but they did it on almost every song. Like, you could give me a song here or there that had a little talk in it, but like, Boys to Men, every big hit, every single had that, like, you knew it was coming. It was like the middle of the song. It was the bridge of the song. Like, I'm trying to think of the band that I'm thinking of right now, but you knew eventually a saxophone was coming. Like, you knew this was coming. Like, with Boys to Men, you knew they were going to break it down and he was going to talk to the love interest of the song. Like, that was just part of the formula of every song.
Well, go back in here, Soul and Inspiration. Bill Medley does it so wonderfully. Just let me do two quick lines.
Yeah.
Girl, I can't let you do this, and I promise you, baby, you're my reason for living, for dying, for laughing, and for crying. Elvis did it.
No, I was just, you took the words right out of my mouth. You took the words right out of my mouth. Elvis did it too, yeah. I was just going to say, Elvis did it too. The life's a stage. What song is it again? He's like, life's a stage, and I must play my part. The part of the broken heart or something like that. But yeah, Elvis did it, no doubt. I'm not saying, if I said Boys to Men invented it, I apologize. I just felt like that, Elvis did it on a song. Like, it had happened, but they came up with, this is going to be the formula for all our hits. That's all I'm saying. Like, that became his role with the band. That's what he did. Yes, he was probably the baritone and the bass of the acapella, but like, his role was, all right, here it's coming. I wonder what he's going to say. Like, it was just different. I don't know. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
What's up, Big Mac? How you been, buddy? Everything good?
Everything's great, Mitch. How are things with you?
Not bad. Just got back from the airport. I'm going to go take a nap, and I got to get going for a few more jobs. But let's get to the Yankees for a minute. I mean, yes. I was there last week on a cold day, and it was a complete disaster against the Giants. I mean, they didn't even show up. But you know what? It's, everyone's so concerned about the Yankees and everything else. And my biggest concern, I always told you, was third base. And we're doing okay. It looks like LeMayo is going to try to come back in another week or so. Schmidt's going to probably pitch next week. And, and Fried showed us last night that, yeah, we lost Cole, but Fried can be your number one starter. So the team, they're playing okay, but it just, the biggest part now everyone's worried about is the closer. Everyone should relax. It's only the first week of the season. Yeah. I don't know why everyone, all the fans all the time complain and worry. If you get into the middle of the season, you'll figure it out by then. They got Luke Weaver there. But again, Big Mac, sometimes it just amazes me how Boone does things. He has a game when he's not doing right, he can bring Weaver to play the pitch, and he doesn't do it. Some of the things he does, I'm going to tell him more games he'll cost us this year like he did the year, for the last couple of years. And one other thing, Big Mac,
yeah.
You said about Sam Rosen. And I know Sam personally. What a great guy he is. He's going to be missed completely.
Yeah.
But, you know, did you watch last night the game, the pregame last night?
The pregame? I did not, no.
Okay, well, TNT had him on with John Davidson for about 25 minutes, and you could just see the joy that he had together with John Davidson.
Yeah.
It was so nice. The guy is the most personal guy he ever met. I mean, you know, I drive him to the airport sometimes, and he gets out of the car, and someone says, "Hey, you're Sam Rosen." Nobody does. Instead of him going into the airport, he got to go. He goes talks to the people.
Yeah.
He's just a real. He's the nicest guy in the world. He's going to be missed completely. And we've been thankful for many years as New York fans. We had Sterling and we had Sam Rosen. You're going to be missed, all these guys. And Big Mac, we got to get a game together, me and you, to a Yankee game. We got to pick a day.
Yeah, definitely. We'll figure something out, Mitch. I totally agree with most of what you said. Again, Aaron Boone, he's not perfect. But again, I wonder how many games he's going to cost us. We never count the games he wins. Players win, Aaron Boone loses. So far in the season, the Yankee players are 7, Aaron Boone 5. Like, it's ridiculous, man. It's just ridiculous that we put it this way. Like, he never gets credit. He doesn't get credit for hitting Ben Rice leadoff. He doesn't get credit for hitting Goldschmidt leadoff and how they've done there. Like, he gets no credit for any of this. He doesn't get any credit for taking out a closer in yesterday's game when a lot of managers would have let him finish that game or not. He doesn't get credit for any decision he makes that's successful. If a pitcher comes in, if he brings the pitcher in and the pitcher is successful, well, that's what pitchers are supposed to do. If he brings in a pitcher who is unsuccessful, well, he's an idiot for bringing him in. I mean, thankfully, Devin Williams has done at least that one thing where nobody seems to be blaming Boone for bringing Devin Williams in yesterday. It's strictly on Devin Williams. But yes, of course, he's going to be fine. This is not just a no-name reliever. This is one of the best relievers in baseball. He's got a track record of the last 6 years being dominant. Not okay, not good, not solid, not better than what the Yankees have had. Excellent. It's been a couple of games in cold weather with, you know, inconsistent pitching, inconsistent appearances, and he was off for 4 days having his first child. Like, he's got a new team. He's just got a new child. He's hardly pitched. Like, can we give him, he's pitched in 4 games. The one game they lost, they won 3 of those 4 games he's pitched in. As bad as he is, he really hasn't cost them wins and losses. The only game he lost was he came in with a runner on second that he didn't put there and gave up what probably would have been a fly ball under normal circumstances, but they were playing in. Like, that's it. Even as terrible as he was, they didn't lose the game. He hasn't blown a save. He lost 1 game in extra innings with a runner at second base that he didn't put there. Can we just relax? The guy's been dominant. He's got a 1.8 career ERA. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. We'll come back rapid fire style as we take it to the warm-up show at 5. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back. Everybody get up. Let's go. You got 5 minutes to the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019 on this Thursday morning. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 2 a.m., and then you'll have other people for a week. Just a little vacay. We'll have Easter Sunday, and then we'll be back ready to go through the NBA draft, through the NBA playoffs, NFL draft, through the Yankees dominating the American League East, you know, all that good stuff. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Bernadette in Oceanside. Want to make sure I get you in, Bernadette. Yesterday I kind of waited till the music hit. What do you got today?
I got today the four tops, and
the four tops
is Bernadette.
Yeah, that's right. Is that's your favorite song?
Well, it's one of my favorites, but the only thing is that I have no clue what any of the other lyrics are. I can't live without Bernadette.
Mm-hmm. we're gonna have to get Brett in Long Island to sing that song to you.
That would be great.
Maybe that would be like a first step in the right direction for Brett. He could really.
Yeah. Well,
he listens to Light FM, so he maybe carries a tune.
I don't know if he can walk that straight line, though, Chris.
Yeah, I don't know. I have my doubts too, Bernadette. I have my doubts too. Anything sports related? How are you feeling on this morning?
I feel great. I really do. I feel. I'm going to have a great day. I'm going to be outside.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Is the weather supposed to be turning around today? Yesterday, we were, and thank you for the call, Bernadette. Is the weather supposed to be much nicer? Let's see. What do we got? Right now, it's 36. A little, well, not good enough. A high of 49. No, not that much better. With a lot of rain. Great. Fantastic. But I'm getting the hell out of here. It was supposed to be frigid for our my son's baseball game yesterday, but it was actually really nice. We got in the car. My car said like 54 degrees. It was comfortable. We played the entire game. Kid, you know, we all wore sweatshirts underneath our jerseys. But, yeah, it was comfortable. It's supposed to get warmer at the end of the week, I believe. But hopefully this bad weather is behind us because, let's be honest, the one thing I'll say, and I know I don't get on Boone. I just offended him there. I'm the Aaron Karen. That's my new nickname. I defend Aaron Boone and Aaron Judge. I am the Aaron Karen, as Fliegelman has dubbed me, which I find funny. I will say, Aaron Boone, the one thing I don't like about sometimes the feel of this team that he leads, and ultimately I do think he does a pretty damn good job, and they win a lot of games, and I don't have to get into it. But it felt like they wanted no part of being in Detroit. Like, it just felt like they were like, screw this, it's cold, who the hell cares, let's just get the hell out of here. Like, they fall behind school, but that's it. Let's just swing at every first pitch, end this game in 2 hours and 4 minutes, and get the hell out of here. Like, it just felt like, instead of digging in and saying, let's go out there and beat these guys, it was kind of like, well, how do you expect us to play in this? I think that's how Jazz felt, and he took it to social media. Like, it got to be a little bit more mentally tough and stop making excuses. I have to admit that it felt a little soft from the New York Yankees. But hopefully they're flying home off a victory. They'll be better. Hopefully the Mets, off a day off, can go back on the road and get some wins. And hopefully the baseball season is as good as we hope it can be. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you all. Big Zoo on the other side, helping me through all our movie and music talk on this glorious Thursday morning. Enjoy the rest of your day. The warm-up show is next. Stick with the Fan all day long. I'll catch you guys tomorrow at 2 a.m. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.